yourself musical instruments like David, to drink wine from bowls and anoint yourselves with the best ointments, but are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Therefore they shall go now captive as the first of the captives. Now you understand when he's talking about Joseph, it's relating to the northern kingdom. Therefore they shall now go captive as the first of the captives, and those who recline at banquets shall be removed. The Lord God has sworn by himself. The Lord God of hosts says, I abhor the pride of Jacob and hate his palaces. Therefore I will deliver up the city and all that is in it. Which city is he talking about? Samaria. Then it shall come to pass that if 10 men remain in one house, they shall die. And when a relative of the dead with one who will burn the bodies picks up the bodies to take them out of the house, he will say to the one inside the house, are there any more with you? Then someone will say, none. And he will say, hold your tongue, for we dare not mention the name of the Lord. In other words, he's wanting to make sure he takes no oath or anything in the name of God, if I understand this correctly. When he says none, he stops him right there. Whoa, that's far enough. Don't dare mention the name of God. He's the one that's doing all this damage to us. For behold, the Lord gives a command. He will break the great house into bits and the little house into pieces. The horses run on rocks. Does one plow there with oxen? Yet you've turned justice into gall and the fruit of righteousness into wormwood. You who rejoice over Lodabar. You ever heard of that? See, that's an inheritance of the tribe of Gad. That's one of the cities that was given to Gad. Who say, have we not taken Carnium for ourselves by our own strength? In other words, they're bragging. We took this city. We took that city. But behold, I will raise up a nation against you, O house of Israel, says the Lord God of hosts, and they will afflict you from the entrance of Hamath, which was actually a former city of Syria that was taken by Israel, to the valley of Araba. And the best I can tell, this is a region of land, and it's in the depression or the lower part of the Jordan Valley. So this was like a long, many miles of land that he's referring to here when he says from Hamath to the valley of Araba. So for a long distance there, they'll be afflicted. And then we go into chapter 7. Amos sees Israel being destroyed on two different occasions, and he intercedes. God responds favorably, but then he shows Amos a line that signifies God's severance from Israel. When Amos conveys God's message, he's rebuked and told to leave the country. And then Amos responds to Amaziah's rebuke with a prophetic word from the Lord. Now let's read it. Thus the Lord God showed me, behold, he formed locust swarms at the beginning of the late crop. Indeed, it was the late crop after the king's mowing, and so it was when they had finished eating the grass of the land that I said, O Lord God, forgive, I pray, all that Jacob may stand, for he is small. So the Lord relented concerning this. It shall not be, said the Lord. In other words, what he's saying is the locust devouring the land. Have you read anything about that lately? Similarity there with Joel, isn't it? But through his intercession, God says, all right, I won't do it. Now you understand, Israel's still standing, Judah's still standing. Then he has another vision. Is thus the Lord God showed me, behold, the Lord God called for conflict with fire, and it consumed the great deep and devoured the territory. Then I said, oh, Lord God, cease, I pray. Oh, that Jacob may stand, for he is small. So the Lord relented concerning this. This also shall not be, said the Lord God. Two times here he's interceded, and two times God's honored his intercession. Then the third time he has the vision of a plumb line. Verse 7, thus he showed me, behold, the Lord stood on a wall with a plumb line. Now, your translation may have made in there. Does yours say made? A wall made with a plumb line? Well, you don't make a wall with a plumb line. A plumb line just shows you whether the wall's plumb. But the word made's not there in the Hebrew. And it just makes more sense if you know anything about what a plumb line's used for. It just makes more sense when you read it without the made in there. The Lord stood on the wall with a plumb line. Mm-hmm. With a plumb line in His hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, Behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. In other words, there it is. Measure up to it. You don't measure up, you're gone. The high places of Isaac should be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel should be laid waste. I will rise with a sword against the house of Jeroboam. Now this is what Amos sees, and he's conveying this to the nation of Israel. And then when you get to verse 10, it says, Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, note that, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. And all Amos is doing is saying what God says, right? For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive from their own land. Then Amaziah, remember now, this is the priest of Bethel. And then Amaziah said to Amos, Go, you seer, flee to the land of Judah. Get out of our country, in other words. Go back to your homeland. There eat bread, and there prophesy. But never again prophesied Bethel, for it's the king's sanctuary. See, he's not calling it the house of God. And it's the royal residence. God has no clout there. The king has the clout there. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor was I a son of a prophet, but I was a sheep breeder and a tender of sycamore fruit. Then the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said to me, Go, prophesy to my people Israel. There's His commission. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord. Now this is addressed straight to Amaziah, this priest of Bethel. Your wife shall be a harlot in the city. Your sons and your daughters will fall by the sword. Your land shall be divided by survey line. You shall die in a defiled land. And Israel shall surely be led away captive from his own land. You want me to go back to Judah? Before I get out of your presence, let me tell you what's going to happen to you. And he gives him this prophetic word from the Lord. And then we get into chapter 8. Israel is declared to have reached a point of no return. Their destruction is inevitable. It says, excuse me. Thus the Lord God showed me, behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what do you see? So I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, The end has come upon my people Israel. I will not pass by them any more, and the songs of the temple shall be wailing in that day, says the Lord God. Many dead bodies everywhere. They shall be thrown out in silence. Hear this, you who swallow up the needy and make the poor of the land fail, saying, When will the new moon be passed, that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath, that we may trade wheat? In other words, they're not interested in God's day. They're just saying, I wish this would hurry up and get over so we can get back to business as usual. Isn't that the attitude of so many today with church? I mean, we don't even want to stay in there long enough to miss a meal or be late for a meal, not even miss a meal, you know. That hand gets close to 12, fidgeting and all this, right? That just says that your mind's not on the Lord anyway. It's on yourself. He says, They make the ephod small and the shekel large, falsifying the scales by deceit. We may buy the poor for silver, the needy for a pair of sandals, even sell the bad wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob. You know, I saw something on the news today, the deception of food companies, how they're taking boxes, and they showed one box bigger than the other box, same product, same company, and they make you think they had the same price on it, so you pick up the bigger box, and the bigger box, when you read the print on it, had less quantity in it than the other box. Falsifying. The Lord has sworn with the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall the land not tremble for this, and every one mourn who dwells in it? All of it shall swell like the river, heave, and subside like the river of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord, that I will make the sun go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feast into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on every waist and baldness on every head. That's the sign of mourning. They shave their heads and wear sackcloth. I will make it like mourning for an only son, and its end like a bitter day. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor thirst for water, but of the hearing of the word of the Lord. You understand? Amaziah said, get out of here. We don't want to hear you. God said, watch what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring a famine on the land. They won't even hear the word of God. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. In that day the fair virgins and strong young men shall faint from thirst. Those who swear by the sin of Samaria, who say, as your God lives, O Dan, and as the way of Beersheba lives, they shall fall and never rise again. And then the last chapter, chapter 9, the Lord declares His inescapable judgment. And then afterwards He tells of the restoration of Israel. I saw the Lord standing by the altar, and He said, strike the doorposts that the thresholds may shake, and break them on the heads of them all. I will slay the last of them with a sword. He who flees from them shall not get away, and he who escapes from them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell or Sheol, from there my hand shall take them. Though they climb up to heaven, from there I will bring them down. The psalmist had a revelation of this, didn't he? Where could I go? Where could I hide from the presence? Where could I flee? Nowhere. And this is what God's saying right here. And though they hide themselves on the top of Carmel, from there I will search and take them. Though they hide from my sight at the bottom of the sea, from there I will command the serpent, and it shall bite them. Though they go into captivity before their enemies, from there I will command the sword, and it shall slay them. I will set my eyes on them for harm and not for good. I'm going to tell you, that is a sobering thought when you think of that. The Lord God of hosts, He who touches the earth and it melts, and all who dwell there mourn, all of it shall swell like the river and subside like the river of Egypt. He who builds his lairs in the sky, some translations say stories, and has founded his strata in the earth, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the face of the earth. The Lord is His name. Are you not like the people of Ethiopia to me, O children of Israel, says the Lord? Did I not bring up Israel from the land of Egypt, the Philistines from Kaphtor, and the Syrians from Kir? Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are on the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from the face of the earth. Yet I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, says the Lord. For surely I will command and will sift the house of Israel among all nations, as grain is sifted in the sea. Yet not the smallest grain shall fall to the ground. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, who say the calamity shall not overtake nor confront us. You know what he's talking about? The smallest sea? Not one righteous will be lost. I'm going to sift. I'll sift it. I won't lose any. There'll be a remnant. In verse 11, which talks about the restoration of Israel, it says, on that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair its damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom. And all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does this thing, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grape, him who sows seed. If I understand that correctly, he's talking about a very prosperous time. By the time they get the harvest in, it's time to sow again. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. Now, there could be double reference there, because we know that Israel went into captivity in Assyria, but my suspicion is that he's referring to latter days with this statement. We know later on Judah went into captivity to Babylon. We do know that Judah was released. We don't see anything that tells us that Israel was ever released. Judah did come back in and rebuild the city. They did come back in and inhabit the land, but they never did get back to the full scale of what they had in to begin with. Even their temple was not up to par of what it had been previously. So this appears, especially one of the key things here is the Gentiles. This really stuck out to me. And all the Gentiles who are called by my name. He's talking about raising up the tabernacle of David and the Gentiles that are going by my name. So I'm not so sure that this is not talking about something that is to come rather than something that's already been. Okay? And basically, you know, I rushed trying to beat that clock, but we did all right, didn't we? We beat the clock. But I trust you've got a general idea of what the book of Amos is about, and it can just be summed up in saying that Amos was just, he didn't even come from a prophetic background, and yet God just called him from being a shepherd to go to the nation of Israel and declare the judgments of God that were coming, and then tell them after all those judgments had been poured out, there's going to be a restoration. So that's basically what the book's about, isn't it? Amen.